Well,
welcome to this session. This afternoon we will be looking at the emergency response of the Lutheran World Federation, Department for World Service Program in Haiti. We'll look at the challenges that we face, and what have we done as the Lutheran Communion there, as we work also with the ACT Alliance, which is the Action by Churches Together Alliance. It's a coalition of churches, church agencies around the world, 170 of them. Two criteria for organization to be a part of the ACT: you have to be a member of the Lutheran World Federation, either a church or a church agency, or you need to have some kind of relationship with the World Council of Churches, WCC. So we will look at during this session very briefly. As I said, the challenges, what we face, our response as LWF, and the challenges ahead of us, you know, and the appeal also that we are making to friends and people that are supporting Haiti for them to continue to be in prayer with the people of Haiti, but also participating in advocacy, because it is one of the what we do as the Lutheran World Federation is just a drop in the ocean. So the best work that we can do is advocating on behalf of the Haitian people, either empowering organizations in Haiti for them to do that, because advocacy in the local context is best done by the people who are living there in that context. It's more credible. But also on this side, on the other side of Haiti, we are encouraging our friends, churches, partners, ELCA, WCC, ACT Alliance, and all those networks that we know to advocate on behalf of Haiti. One, around not only debt cancellation, but also around fulfilling the promises that the international community did after the earthquake. To also help on the budget issues, because Haiti will need a lot of money and resources for them to rebuild. NGO will not do it. The state will need to take responsibility. We need to emphasize on transparency and the voice of civil society in the reconstruction and so on. So those kind of advocacy points that we are working on with the Lutheran World Federation. Before I start, we have a couple of slides, and I want to go through them very quickly, but before I get into the slide, is there any expectation or thing that you particularly would want me to touch on?
Well, I just want to understand what, you know, will be the most helpful response.
How is the rebuilding overseen in Haiti as far as construction codes and things like that?
Okay. And you're coming into hurricane season also. Mm-hmm. How do you prepare for that when you have temporary housing?
All right, so we'll cover that. The emergency response, what would be helpful to not only to LWR but to the people in Haiti as in general. And we'll be talking a little bit about DRR, disaster risk reduction, and how we are handling that, and so on. So, as you can see in the map, the epicenter of the quake really was not even in Port-au-Prince, it was around Gracier and Léogâne, you know. So within this 30, 40 mile radius, you know, around Port-au-Prince, so you have all the devastation that is concentrating mostly in this area. The area of, I don't have a pointer, but in the area of Port-au-Prince, around Léogan, Grand Grave, and on this area around here. So that's where you have, for example, the town of Léogan, and I mentioned that in the Haitian history, where the birthplace of Queen Anna Kauna was completely destroyed. Not even a single building, you know, survived in the town of Léogan. All down. Port-au-Prince, you have downtown Port-au-Prince going out west, Delmas, you know, were completely destroyed. And we see those kind of area of Port-au-Prince. But curiously, people who live on the other side of the mountain, because the fault, the way they explain it, all this area of Léogan, of Port-au-Prince, Jacmel, you know, here, we're really sitting on the fault. And people have been talking about that for many, many years, you know. There are a lot of reports on it and so on. But it was ignored by all the authorities and there was no preparedness and so on. So the challenges, you know, after the earthquake, you know, remain the same. And some of them, we had that even before the earthquake, you know, political instability, for example. Haiti is a disaster-prone place, many hurricanes and landslide, mudslide, you name it, you know. And you have a little building codes, doesn't exist. You have a ministry of transportation and so on, but you have a lot of good laws on the book, but they are not enforced, you know. The issue of deforestation, the illiteracy rate in the country, the issue of host families that we see people after the earthquake, you know, many people, you know, in the countryside and in around Port-au-Prince, you know, open their home to receive, you know, friends and neighbors and others. But these people, they were living on the fringe. They were living really at the margin. And after the earthquake, you know, they welcome people in. Like good Haitian, they have to share whatever they have. And these people also fall into the vulnerability also. Yeah, because, you know, they have just eaten what they had in a couple of months. A couple of days instead of a couple of months. You have the urban concentration, you know, continues. Many things. And on top of that, you have cholera, you know, the wobble, it's only 20, which is already there, I mean, you know, 20% of the wobble was managed by the international community, by the Haitian government. So that means you have 80% of still there, you know, and we are trying to do that. So all these challenges, you know, will not go away from one day to the other. So after January 12th, the LWF also, I mean, was the office of the LWF in Pétionville was not affected. But many of the staff members and the senior staff members were heavily affected. You know, you have the program coordinator, you know, had to leave the country. The person that was not supposed to be there to coordinate the emergency response, you know, was also affected and had to evacuate her daughter to Dominican Republic and so on. So we were kind of decapitated as a program in Haiti because of the senior managers, you know, we're not available. We need to respond. So it took us also some time for us to get organized and coming back to our foot. Because as I explained the other day, the Lutheran Federation has, Lutheran Federation Department for World Service has two mandates. One is a humanitarian mandate to respond to the emergencies and disasters and crises and those kind of stuff. And they have also a development mandate, which is to work, plan with community, empowering community, and help community to get out of poverty. So after the earthquake, so we, as part of the new way of working within the WCC and the LWF, because they created the ACT Alliance that I mentioned at the beginning, as a way for churches to get involved in emergency response. It's a mechanism that help the WCC and the LWF family when something happened to mobilize resources quickly. It's not only financial resources, but also to mobilize expertise. If you need to do an assessment, if you need to know what happened quickly, if you need to mobilize a crew to do some filming and awareness around something, so we can call upon these people that belong to this network. There's a register for that where you can call on people very quickly and have those resources available. So what we did an appeal, which is known right now in the HT101 appeal. And at the beginning, it was a funding request for $12 million. That later was revised to $18 million. So we received $9 million during that appeal live. And we were able to reconstitute our organization in Haiti. We organized our office in Pétionville. We had a lot of problems there and so on. We created a base in Léogane where we had a lot of issues, Léogane and Gracie and Petit Guave, Grand Guave. That was the area that was heavily affected by the quake. So we created a base in Léogane, and from this base we are responding also to the earthquake. The appeal normally was done for from February to July, and we decided with the ACT Alliance to extend the life of the appeal to December 2011 because of the challenges that we face in the implementation. The main challenges also that we face for the recovery effort and the redevelopment efforts is land availability, you know, custom issue, you know, as I mentioned, high staff turnover and insecurity in the country. So most of the activities, for example, for November, December, were delayed because of the political situation in the country and the election and you know, people taking the street and advocating for their right and those kind of stuff. So it was a problem that we have. When I arrived in Haiti as October to help, you know, speed up a little bit the response and so on, we have a major plan in our operation. 25 containers were still on the dock. We have around 9 vehicles that were still at the border in the yard. Materials for us to build for the school that was still waiting. Shelter material also, they were there on the dock and so on. So you have a lot of issues. And one that I would like to tackle here right now is there's a misconception saying that the bottleneck is the Haitian government. There is some of that, but it's not completely true. One of the major things that happened was international NGOs and people coming from outside, understanding that there is a major crisis and so on. They have good heart and want to help, you know, but they think that they can do that the way they want, because they bring the money, they bring the resources, Haitian must, you know, receive it, you know, and they can do that the way they believe, you know, in their own way they can do it. So that clashes with the Haitian laws, with the custom issues, and so on. And because they didn't know how to go about it, you know, we get into this bottleneck. You know, in many organizations, and even for us, LWF, that was the case. Because most of our, what we call them, not only emergency officers, but logistic officers. For example, we had a guy, when I arrived, I had to tell the guy, you know, I love you, I mean, I love the guy dearly, but he was not helpful. You know, he was an Italian with a lot of experience in logistics and so on, but didn't have a clue on how the country functioned. So instead of being helpful, he was also an influence because he would go to the custom administration and start yelling at people, you know? Naturally, you know, they would tell him, you know, you sit here, you wait. He would stay, I mean, seriously, he would wait an entire day, you know, and go back, you know, home without seeing a custom officials, you know. So when I come in, I had to tell him, you know, he said, you know, he was so angry at me when I first arrived, and I said, you know, my friend, you have to learn first how this country functions. And we get into an argument and so on, and I said, okay, I'm not in any competition with you, but let me show you how this thing works in this country. You know? So, seriously, I mean, I said, okay, you've been here for, what, 11 months? And my stuff, I have a problem because I have the donor's money in my hand. I have a million people that are still waiting for shelter. You know, I made a commitment to 20,000 kids to put them into school. They are still waiting. You know, I cannot play with this. So I had to make a letter, introduce myself, send a letter to everybody to let them know that I'm here. I represent the LWF. I have to put two people working on our appeal that was only in English. You know, and I said, we people, you need to stop translating this thing into French, because this is the thing that I need to bring to the government officials, you know? So we did that. I said, if you coordinate shelter, I need a plan on shelter. How many shelter? How are you gonna be distributed? Who will be involved? How are the mayors involved? You know? And I had to put everybody on a roller coaster, really. Finally, I had the materials and so on, and I took this logistic guy. I said, okay, let's go and do this, you know? But I cannot go to the custom. Custom will not do anything for me. And that's a custom in any country. I work in Chad, I work in CAR, in Cameroon. That's the same custom. Even here in the US, if you need something on custom, no, you cannot go to custom. You have to go to Treasury, you know? Bring your letter and so on. You make your appeal, and they will ask custom to release. Custom just police. That's what they do, you know. So, and we had to do that for us to get the things out, you know. I mean, and it was done. So, this is the issues that we have. When people said, "Oh, the government of Haiti is not helping," you know, there's some of that, you know, but it's not the entire truth. So. For the initial, you know, phase, these are the things that we were able to do very quickly, and one of the major area where we have been really a unique organization in doing that is in psychosocial, putting a heavy emphasis on psychosocial and working with churches and church organizations, train people, train psychosocial. Officers for them to go and work with people in communities. And this is a sector in the emergency response that has not been really well addressed until today. During the first emergency, the first days, We set up a camp in the area of Mariani, near Leogan, to provide support to the families. We had to move these people from Mariani because, you know, they had some flooding issues and so on, and we had to create a bigger camp as well because we had so many people requesting help. And setting an operation in that area. Now this base in Leogan is completely finished and operational with a warehouse and two warehouses and staff quarter and training area also for people and so on. So it's a new setup. We are working on the shelter and the shelter issue that has been, still is, one of the major bottleneck. But we work with the mayors and the municipalities. We're very fortunate. Again, you have to know how to go about this thing. The Constitution of 1987 made of the mayors and the municipalities the holder and the gatekeepers and the controllers of the land, the state land of the in the nation. So again, some people need and want to have land, but they never talk to the mayors. So if you're not talking to the mayors, you are not receiving land. But once you get the letter from the mayors, you have also a lot of hoop also that you have to jump. So you have to go to the Ministry of Transportation and Interior to register your project, you know, and you receive a number. And with this number, a letter that gives you this number, you have to go to the Ministry of Finance and tell the Ministry of Finance, I got my name from the mayor, I got my number from the Ministry of Interior, which is responsible for the reconstruction and the rebuilding. And you tell them, this is my project, and I want you to give me a waiver for me to go and do the survey and receive the title deed, you know? But most international NGOs that are working in Haiti, they really don't know that. So that was my first move when I landed in Port-au-Prince in the afternoon. My next move the next day, I even didn't go to the office to greet staff and so on. I went straight to Leogan and talked to the mayors, you know? So, and we introduced, you know, I said, we did that, this is the project, this is what we want to do, you know? You work on it. So, we were able to receive four acres of land for us to create a model village and so on. And we'll be introducing some bamboo constructions and those kind of stuff in the country. So.
Wait, what are those pictures of, the blue buildings that were just on the screen?
These buildings, they are model shelters that we are doing. For example, this on your left, on my left here, was supposed to be temporary shelter that we are supposed to put up on by March, let's say, February, March. And they were still on the dock when I arrived. So now I said, you know, what do I do with this? Because they were supposed to be temporary shelter. And when I arrived, I couldn't even mention temporary shelter in any document because the emergency phase was over in July, you know? And I arrived in October. So I had to go to the Ministry of Interior and let them know that I have all this material. First of all, I had to get this material out. It was among all this material that was there. And one of the reasons also that Custom didn't want to even hear my logistic guy, it was we had almost $2 million in plywood, you know? They are sensitive material in the context of recovery of any places. You know, so if you cannot give any guarantee what you're gonna do with this,
they can end up on the market. So Costa will not give you anything, anywhere, until you prove what kind of project you're going to do with that. So, and our problem was, all our document was in English. And the Haitian authorities will not receive not even a letterhead in English from anybody. So, people would tell you, oh, the Haitian state, you know, they are not helpful. But you cannot come to somebody's country, you know, and set up the rule. Even though they are in it. You know? So these are the tension also we have. There are issues, man, said that I confront the government on them, you know, when they are not right. But I know if I come to work in this country, I cannot be sending documents in English to the authorities. So those are things that that we've learned. We started to do what we call temporary schools. But normally these schools, they are built for at least 4 years. That's the life of this school. So we build what we call the hangar school. And we had, in the first phase, 55 test schools, like those you see on the right. And we build 170 hangar schools. And we are having a couple of pilot schools that we already started. While we're working on the schools, so we are also to work on to provide water to the schools, creating well, and working with the teachers, because you know, the schools are open, we are equipping the schools, but the teachers, you know, nobody's paying them. Because the parents cannot pay them, you know, they don't have any activities, no nothing. So we had to do some work, providing some grant to the teachers. We're introducing some what we call livelihood. Those who are in the countryside, who can do vegetable garden and those kind of stuff. So we have a couple of agronomists also working with them to do those kind of stuff. So that, because one of the things we don't want to happen is the schools are there, and there's something in Haiti. You have the school, the kids start going. In the middle of the month, the school is empty. And you ask why the school are empty. Because the only way they can enforce payment in the schools is by returning them, you know, to their parent. If you don't pay, you are forced back home, you know. But the parents cannot pay, so what happened? The kid will stay home for the rest of the month and come back the first of the other month, you know. And I said, and I had to go and put all the headmasters together and said to them, you know, this has made no sense. And if we cannot find a solution to this thing, I will just stop the school project, because we have school for kids. So if the schools are empty half of the year, how good is this? You know? So we had to find, to be creative, I had to go to PAM, the World Food Program people, to ask for food. I had to go to Oxfam and ask them to do, I said, you know, let's put that on a memo agreement. I'm building the school, you're doing water, you know. I had to go and tell PAM, I'm building the school, I'm giving a grant to the teachers, but you have to give food to the students, you know. So those kind of partnerships that I'm creating and trying to work with people that I know, because I work with the UN system, so I know people, I have my entry and those kind of stuff. So I was able to help with those kind of stuff. So we have a lot of livelihood activities, because for us, that's the future for the country. Everybody does agriculture, so we need to have wood for market access and create wood, create possibilities. We did some cash for work. But the cash for work activities, they are quite kind of knife with double fill. Because if you just give cash to people and they're just dependent on the cash, we are also digging a hole for them. You know? So that you have to find, you know, how do you do that in the proper way, you know? In some communities, we had to stop the cash forward. If the community is not serious in taking responsibility and doing something that will give them some, create some economy in the community, it's not a good cash forward program, you know? So those kind of stuff that we are doing training and income generating activities like microloan, working with women, providing seed and tools so that people can go back again and work and start some activities. So they are really dependent on us for their livelihood. So the fund that we received so far, we provided some food in the first phase of the appeal. We worked with education. We did a lot of things on healthcare and mostly on protection and water and sanitation. And we worked on livelihood, but also we worked on with the teachers and the headmasters for them to really pay the teachers and provide some support to teachers and this kind of stuff so that they can really be in the school, because otherwise the school would be empty. We created a department that we call support services. And this department really do camp management in Port-au-Prince and in Gracier and Léogâne. We have a sector also that does disaster risk reduction. They do training, they do assessment of vulnerabilities in the community where we work, because we cannot work everywhere. So all the activities that we do, we concentrate them. For example, if we say we work in Léogâne, we are doing shelter, so we match shelter with education, with livelihood, and so on, so that we have some pattern that is being developed so that we can see the impact of what we are doing. So we do also primary health promotion because of the cholera, and we do that in the schools, we do that in the communities, we do that through the churches, and one of our major partners in the cholera is the Lutheran Church of Haiti. And there are also psychosocial activities. This gives you an idea of the different activities that we do. On your right-hand side, this is a friendly space that we develop for kids that are living in the camps. We have a couple of promoters that work there to make sure that the kids are safe. There's some alphabetization, literacy that is being done in the camp, but also keeping them also alive, play with them and have some friendly space and recreational activities also for the kids. So we have at least 10 people that are working only on this friendly space for children. On the other side, we have the brigades. Somebody was asking about response to the emergencies and so on. So we form, in the communities where we work, we form the brigades. And this brigade is recognized by the Ministry of Interior and Department of Civil Protection. And when something happened, these are the group that would work with the communities for evacuation, for safe haven, and also would be the first responders in the communities. So these people, they are linked to the municipalities, they are linked to the Red Cross, they are linked also to the health services that exist in this area, and we have a network of the ACT Alliance members in Haiti, and we share the information that the brigades, you know, bring in. So, and down there, these are the people that are working with Asian promotion, to show people in the communities and in the school to wash hands, you know, hand washing, hygiene protection, how to protect themselves, and, you know, those kind of stuff. And this is one of the camp that we have set up in the Mariani area. And we stopped really emptying this camp right now with the shelter, semi-permanent shelter program. How do we work with the camp? which is very unique also to the LWF approach. We don't just go and bring stuff and set up shop and do things. In the camp, if the committee doesn't exist, we create a committee. We ask, call on the people for them to organize themselves. And we install, you know, school tent, the friendly space that I mentioned. And also we identify, through a very simple mechanism, who are renters, who are owners, you know, and so on. We did that kind of preliminary work from the beginning, from the start. Because what will happen if you don't do that, when you need to distribute something, you won't know who's who. Because if you have something to give, you will find people to receive them. You know? So you have to do that, and we work closely with the International Organization for Migration as one of our partners that does those survey for us and those kind of work in the community. So the psychosocial kind of thing that we did, we did training, we did group, work with parents. We have also a provision for our own staff, because many of our staff also were affected by the earthquake, so we provide also psychosocial for them as well.
How many children were left? Is there an estimate of how many children were left without parents?
According to civil protection, it's 450,000 children that are just left behind, as they call them.
In total, or from the earthquake?
From the earthquake. From the earthquake. Yeah. So it seems that the police, protection of minors, that did a survey with the support of UNOPS, United Nations Agencies for Populations, and they came up with this report, a tick report that they just released recently. So those kind of things that we do in health promotion. I mentioned already the disaster risk reduction and what we do internally and so on. Throughout this process, really, we had some, I would say, confusion also with the LWF, that, LWF is not an emergency organization, you know. Why people were saying that in Haiti is because that the program in Haiti started as a development program. So it was our mandate in Haiti was not emergency. And that created a huge confusion also among staff. And I'm proud a little bit our response. And now this is being has been clarified that we are both an emergency and a humanitarian organization, but also we work also on development, which is part of how do we lack relief also to development. So this has been clarified and the policies and so on. We had a lot of really high turnovers, and I mentioned great people that came in to help. Great people come from all over the world. But in certain instances, the fact that they didn't know the language, you know, and they couldn't even communicate with their own colleagues, really, that I'm left right now after 18 months of the emergency, I don't have really that knowledge, you know. The knowledge of all these people that came and worked with us didn't stay in the organization because they just did whatever they had to do because they couldn't communicate with their colleagues, you know, they were not able to transmit also that knowledge to others. So it was one of the great myths that we had. The other thing that we learned from the operation also is the instability also. There are a couple of days that we just go home and hibernate, you know. If we are lucky enough to have a couple of beers, a bottle of wine, so You just hibernate and wait. That's all you can do, you know? I would go and negotiate some safe passage for those who are working on cholera, just in case if something happened and so on. But otherwise, you just go and hibernate because of the situation, political situation in the country. The other thing also, and we're making a lot of effort, and that's part of my mandate, to really strengthen the organization and put local people, you know, in the driver's seat, in the management of the organization. So those kind of stuff are things that we learn as the LWF. Everybody is asking, you know, what needs to be done in Haiti, you know. There are a couple of directions that came out after March 2010. The Haitian government organized a large donor meeting in New York at the United Nations. And with a lot of support from the U.S. administration and the EU and they come up with what they call the Action Plan for National Recovery and Development. Okay? This is a document that exists. And this document is being translated now into a recovery and development plan by the new prime minister. So, and that's what the parliament wants, and that's what, you know, they will be doing. So there will be a timeline in this plan. There's things that was done for the last 18 months. There will be a planning that will be done for the next 18 months. And because Haiti, before the earthquake, was part of what they call the Fragile State initiatives from the Ghana frame agreement. This is continuing, so that means there's some benchmark the government need to meet, you know. And from there, they will have some accompaniment from the World Bank and from the International Monetary Fund. So that means the new government that will come out after the election right now, which is in negotiation, should come up with a national macroeconomic plan, some national policies, and do some work for on the reconstruction and so on. So this document exists. So it's there's a lot of pledges that were done in New York, and there are not much money also that have been provided to the Haitian government until today. There are many excuses for that. One of those was the instability, and there was not a new government, and those kind of stuff. So now there is a legitimate president, a legitimate parliament, and we hope there is a new government that will come out of that. So now, for people also that are working on Haiti and have interest on Haiti, we do have a good advocacy point, because it's a legitimate government, you know, it's a legitimate parliament, and that was the excuse done by the international community for not releasing the funding. So now we need to ask them, where's the money? So, and there's a plan, so the thing is set. One of the major challenges, as I mentioned, is the territorial rebuilding. That has never been, nation building has never been part of the agenda. So there is a lot of focus and pushing everybody that wants to work in Haiti to look at outside Port-au-Prince. You know? The foundation for Prince Charles says they will take care of the rebuilding of center of Port-au-Prince. We said, okay, amen, hallelujah, you just do that. But if others want to do something, let's look at outside of Port-au-Prince. So these are the things that we are pushing and participate in conversation. Even when I sit in any UN meeting, it's pushing them. let's look at poll of economic growth, let's look at the economic rebuilding, let's look at what is going on to the countryside. In certain areas, they don't even need to look at housing. Let's look at job creation and people will follow because people live where they work. So this is the thing that many organizations are pushing in the country. So you have the emphasis on social rebuilding, education, primary education, institutional rebuilding, how do we work with the state, and this kind of stuff. For us as LWF in Haiti, one of our major focus will be to improve our collaboration and partnership with the line ministries. We said line ministries because whoever comes to work in Haiti, we work on behalf of the Haitian state. We want to keep our own independence as NGO. We know how we work. We have our own values and so on. We're not trading them. And one of the major ones is we don't pay bribe. Okay? But we need to be looking at the strategy, the national strategy for the country, what is being done, and what is our conversation with the nine ministries. Because this is the only way that we can make a difference in the country. So we need to also mainstreaming, you know, the white-based approach in what we do in the LWF, because it's good to give something to somebody, you know, but it's better also to keep the river flowing. So, and we're engaging really, really, really strongly in advocacy and climate change mitigation. Because this is one of the areas that has not been tackled in Haiti, and Haiti remains an emergency-prone country, and something must be done in this area.
What does CBDRM mean?
It's the country-based development rural communities that we work with. It's a kind of bad translation of the French and Creole.
Oh.
Yeah, so, yeah. So that's what we are doing. And the challenge, you know, remain there. I mean, finding land and working with the authorities and so on. And some of the things, you know, that they do make sense, others doesn't, you know. And you need to find the right grip also to work with them. One of the things that we are doing as LWF is looking, as we are doing the emergency, is looking at the long-term development. So we just had a roundtable with all the partners that came to Haiti last May, where we discussed the long-term development goals for the program. And one of them is the climate change, environmental protection, and so on. The other is on the civil society, and the civil society looking at what do we do? How do we work with the parliament? How do we create awareness building on all these things that doesn't exist? Building codes, some structuration for in the communities, and those kind of stuff. So we work, and I've identified out of the 30 senators, I've identified at least 12 that we can work with, that are Christian, that we know, that come from the network that we've been working with, you know, and people that we can talk to frankly, bluntly. And we are creating something under the leadership of Senator Maxime Oumer and Kelly Bastien, and calling them, open them to really organize something. And the major mandate, I'm hiring somebody that will be coming at the end of July that will work on advocacy and also work with the parliament. So that means we'll provide some background information and research and so on, because these people in the parliament, they don't have an office. They don't have anybody that work with them. So they are trying to do things, you know, as they go. So our role would be to tackle issues that we have interest in, like environmental protection, like building code, the emergency response, and those kind of stuff. So to provide some support to that and see if we can make a difference. So that's where we are. Question? Comment?
Are you awake? We saw
yes.
We give you too much food.
How much time do you spend on the ground in Haiti, you personally?
I live there.
24/7.
You do? I thought you lived in Chicago.
Oh, come on, ask me. No, he doesn't live in Chicago. I live in Chicago with the kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, since last October, I moved to Haiti.
Okay.
This guy sent me to Haiti.
Okay.
yeah, so, no, that's where I live now. And trying to help with the recovery and with development effort. While my family is still living in Chicago.
Marie, I think one of the things, just as an example of, you know, how we mess things up for Haiti is just even before the earthquake, the Coast Guard wanted measures put in law that any container coming out of Haiti or going into Haiti would be examined for drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And that just simply held everything up.
Mm-hmm.
So that in the around the Cap-Haitien area, there was all kind of rice that was spoiling because there weren't enough people who could go do the examination of the containers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons that measure all the emergency response was channeled to DR. Instead of challenging them to Miragoan, Cap-Haitien, you know, that were still open port or Saint Mark, because all these ports were still open, you know, after the earthquake, they were not affected by the earthquake. So, and there is a small airport, but you know, but good airport in Cap-Haitien. So, but we didn't receive the support from. Both FAA and FDA for people to be going to Cap-Haitien. Mm-hmm. Renee?
Okay, I'm wondering how can we directly give financially, monetarily to the LWF program in Haiti to support some of what is going on in LWF?
We have two, what I call, caution that we use when it comes to fundraising here in the US. People do have an option to give directly to the LWF, there is no question on that. LWF does have their own fundraising. But we really don't encourage that. What we really encourage as the LWF program in Haiti, when it's related to churches, congregation, communities that belong to the ELCA, mm-hmm. you know, we do encourage them to go to the appeal, to the Wollongong appeal, or to the emergency appeal, you know, for them to make a gift. And even, we go even 1 mile further than that. Because we know there are some tension, and some people said, you know, we don't want to give our money to the appeal, or we don't want to give our money to Global Mission and so on. There's an instrument in Global Mission that we call Global Give. That I don't know if she's still there, that Twala was managing and still managing. We asked them, you know, if you have any problem with all those instruments that exist in the ELCA, you still have this window to go to Twala and make a gift to Haiti, and we guarantee that this fund will go to the program 100%. So those are the instruments that we, as I mentioned, there's an appeal, and the appeal is for 18 million. We only have received 9 million, so we are still short. And one of the things that we are discussing in Haiti right now, if we don't have enough funding, even though we have the extension to the authorization to extend the appeal to December, we might want to just close the appeal in July, if the funding is not there. So these are the challenges we face. Even though Haiti has been on the lens, you know, but this is fading right now, you know. And program-wise, we have less money today than we had 2 years ago.
You know? Yeah.
So for program, if we didn't have this emergency appeal going on right now, the development program would have to close it.
From the LWF.
From the LWF.
The program funds.
In Haiti, you know. So these are the challenges that we really face, because the money is just not there.
Of the $9 million that has come in, where is it coming from? From individuals, from global church bodies?
It came from different agencies, from the ELCA, from Fin Church Aid, Dan Church Aid, Norwegian Church Aid, to the ACT Alliance appeal, as I mentioned at the beginning. And also from individuals also that, you know.
And the LWF program on the ground is the main way in which all of that is the way through which ACT Alliance works.
Exactly.
On the ground.
Yes and no. It has been complicated after the earthquake. LWF has been the major agency in Haiti for all the global partners since 2009. Some of the partners were also looking at establishing themselves in Haiti before also the earthquake. And the earthquake gave them probably the excuse that they needed. So now, Norwegian churches that used to work to LWF now have their own office in Haiti. Finn churches that used to work through LWF have their own offices in Haiti. Church World Service, you name it, everybody, you know. Lutheran World Relief, that don't have any partner in Haiti, but, you know, they are establishing their own presence and offices in Haiti. So that's the situation that we face. And that was my major challenge to them, you know. At our last roundtable in here. Rafael?
Just to make a comment, I don't know how much time we have, but and this is not on the specific of Haiti, but on something that has come through Haiti. You heard Luis's presentation early on. I don't remember when, but he was mentioning about a political program that was very important in Haiti that brought together different sides. And he said that it was a program developed by the LWF. Yes, it is right, it was the LWF because it was part of the program. But that was the making of Louis. That was Louis' program. And I met Louis. Well, we were having some interesting days right after the coup, the first coup against Aristide. And we were visiting with different political sectors, including a so-called political party that was related to the former Tonton Macoutes, the special guard of Duvalier. And at one point, I said to myself, well, if something happens in Haiti, who will get me quickly out of it? And that was Louis. and from that moment, we developed this relationship. And at one point, he was still there. The LWF needed a director for the office, and Louis was the second person in command. At that time, Bonnie Jensen was the executive director of the unit. I was still the area secretary for Latin America. And I said to Bonnie, we as a church, we never use money to flex our muscles and other people. But I said, in this one, we have to do it because we need a director for that office and Louis should be that director. I mean, Louis is running the whole thing. Louis should be that director. We gave, at that time, we were giving $450,000 annually. It's still the largest contribution to the LWF. I said, well, this is the one time where the Europeans cannot do the Americas, money-wise, because they lose state money and tax money, and we have to raise it a buck at a time. So I said to Bonnie, let's do this. We tried, but it didn't happen. They appointed another European to leave the office. And I said to Louis at that time, you know, Louis, at one point, we will be working together. It took me some years. I think like 10 years, was it?
Yeah.
And finally, we got Louis. And his first job was regional representative in West Africa. Then I had a vacancy in the office, and I brought him there. And he was the director for development. All of the development work in our unit was headed by him until we had this crisis. And my intention was not to send him to Haiti. He was going back and forth. But on my last visit before he finally, well, making the decision, he has to blame himself. He took me to meet with some political leaders, and I got an earful from the political leaders in Haiti saying, we need Louis back. We need Louis back. And I came back and I talked to Louis and I said, I'm going to ask you something that is very difficult. I mean, we are neighbors. We live about, what, 5 minutes drive or less from one another?
Yeah.
And I said, I have to ask you this, but you need to talk to Mitch and you need to consult to the family, because if there is a person that could do this job, not only for the relief after the earthquake, but working with the regular program, I mean, we needed to do some major reorientation of that program. If there is someone that could do it, it is you. And you are my best man. It will hurt me. I am. It is like me, you know, cutting down my leg and sending you to the LWF. So that's why he's still our employee. He is seconded to the LWF office as one more gift of this church, because he is a really resourceful person, and that's what we're trying to do in Global Mission. In Global Mission, yes, we want to share some of the resources that we have, and that is you. But in other occasions, our job is to identify the very good talent that we have in the life of our companions and to empower and enable them. No one from my office could do the work, or someone from Europe that Louis is doing down there. So. I know that he will not say it. He will not say it. He doesn't like to blow his own trumpet, but I have to do it. Because you need to know how with what care we take your support. 100% of what you give for Haiti will go to Haiti. My business is not to, as Louis was saying, to build an office there and send people and eat up our resources in overhead costs. We can work in another way to maximize what you, with a lot of care and sacrifice, entrust to us. And Louis is your person for that. So you can give 100% to Haiti. We have a system in place where your support will go either to support the LWF program or the program of the Lutheran Church in Haiti. And it is in good hands. It is in good hands. So. This is the person. He does an excellent job, and he's walking not only the additional extra mile, he and his family are going beyond that in order for the people of Haiti to have a chance. To have a chance at using this experience as the jumping board for a new reality that we hope will come for the Haitian people. So Louis, Mitch, thank you for what you do on our behalf, on behalf of this church.